Welcome back to Healing Trauma. I'm Lynn Fraser. Today we're going to talk about connection and relationships. Connecting with ourselves is the prerequisite to really being able to connect with someone else. Many of us have had that experience of feeling almost untouched by someone else's love and affection. There's a barrier there. Maybe it's our core deficiency beliefs. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy of their attention and love. So when it comes to relationships, the one with ourselves is the most important one. And all of the 8 days leading up to this have really been working with that. How can we become more connected with ourselves? What caused the disconnection in the first place? Working with things like the inner critic and shaming ourselves. And as we heal from some of those patterns and heal and release some of the trauma, our inner experience is very different. In a previous session, we looked at being interested in ourselves. Maybe it's difficult or there's some resistance. There might be some resistance right now to saying, I love who I am. We might be more comfortable with, I like who I'm becoming. Feel that in your whole body. Notice where your body is connected, your seat, your feet. Let your body relax for a moment. Soften through your forehead and eyebrows, down through your neck and shoulders. Take a few deep breaths and let yourself kind of settle in. What's your response to these sentences? I like who I'm becoming. Feel that in your whole body. I like myself. I'm worth getting to know. I know I still get triggered and seem to need other people's approval, but I can see that it's possible to be free from that. To be on my side so firmly that it doesn't matter as much what other people think. It's possible that I don't have to defend myself against knowing who I am. It's safe for me to know who I am. I'm a good human being. I'm not perfect. And I'm okay. I'm good enough. What's your felt sense of your experience right now emotionally? What are the thoughts that came up in response to those sentences? And scan the back of your body. Are you completely settled and soft through the back of your body? See if you could settle more completely into the support of the chair, of the room you're in. And notice if there's any frustration or unkindness towards yourself, especially if you're noticing any resistance, any tightening. We have a large range of responses. Some people might be frustrated, giving ourselves a talking to. Hey, relax, there's nothing going on here, there's no threat. Many of us as children heard someone saying, get over it. We were taught to ignore how we feel. Telling someone to get over it is not actually effective at all in calming anxiety or fear, but it's quite common, and we might have picked up that habit of saying that to ourselves. What's our relationship with ourselves? One of the ways we can learn more about that, and we can also cultivate a more patient relationship, a more interested relationship, is by doing these simple relaxation practices, and by doing mindfulness inquiry with thoughts in the mind. Notice your neck and shoulders, the muscles of the upper back. And as you breathe out, see if you could let all of that soften and settle. Relax the muscles in your stomach, and see if you could let your breath settle, become smoother, more even. Notice your whole body. Keep your focus a bit wide so you can be aware of your whole body. The back of your body supported by the chair. The front of your body. Notice the relative ease or discomfort. Does it feel boring to pay attention to yourself? Is there something that you're avoiding? That would be very common and understandable. Maybe you're noticing your heart center and there's a sadness there. The images come to mind. Sometimes that's okay, and other times we push that away. And from the perspective of this mindfulness inquiry, it's not as important what we're doing or what's happening. It's that we're noticing our interest. We're noticing that we're observing, and we're noticing our relationship with ourselves. Notice the thoughts that come through the mind. If you were to bring your attention to the back of your head as though you were watching them come across the screen, we notice there's some spaces. Some thoughts arrive and leave on their own. They don't really have any response. With other thoughts, our body might tighten up. A memory might flash in. Focusing on the breath at the belly can be very grounding. It helps to keep our mind relaxed. Just in this short little practice, review what's happened so far. Is your mind really focused? Not very focused? It might have something to do with our level of interest, or more likely, it's just the habits of the mind. And can you notice that without judging yourself? Were there any particular times during the practice when you noticed you were tightening up? It's pretty interesting to see that. Notice again your whole body, head to toes, your breath, your energy. And notice the level of kindness, acceptance, interest. No matter what your experience is, how do you feel about that? Are you still interested in knowing more? When you're ready, finish your practice for now and open your eyes. Once we have a solid connection with ourself, and we don't have to wait until it's perfect, we can notice that it changes our relationship with other people as well. Are you someone who really enjoys other people, who really looks forward to a chance to get together, talk and share, have fun? Or maybe for you, you've had enough experiences of being hurt by other people that it creates a fear response in your body and your mind. Long before you actually meet up with someone, you're already strategizing on how you're going to handle it. There might be catastrophic thinking. What if I say something stupid and I feel like a fool? And we might imagine that in such a vivid way that it feels like it's real. Something interesting in the research on PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I think this would hold true with a lot of different kinds of trauma, is our neuroception is skewed. Dr. Stephen Porges coined that term to describe how we don't have an accurate assessment of threat. Trauma causes us to misread the situation very often. Some things we might be kind of numbed out and we're not recognizing threat that's there. Other times we're hypervigilant. We're seeing threat when there really isn't. And other people's opinions of us mean a lot more than they do once we're healed of the trauma. Everybody likes to be approved of. Everybody likes to feel like they're part of a group. Or what's our tolerance for somebody who gives us that look or someone who's jealous perhaps and doesn't want us to be part of the group? The truth is that not everybody is kind. Not everybody is welcoming to us. And is that devastating? Is it something that we can handle with difficulty, with ease? It's a stress and it has to be handled, that's for sure. Bring to mind a situation where that might have happened. You're in a meeting or at a party or in a group of people somehow, and you felt awkward, out of place. Maybe you're feeling like you're the only one who wasn't talking, and people are looking at you wondering why. Or maybe you did say something that fell flat. You're going over and over it in your mind already, and you know that'll happen for days to come, ruminating about the comment you made, what you could have said, what you should have said. Maybe you should have just been quiet. It feels like there's so much at stake. There are some simple tools that we can use to help in this situation. Most of them revolve around the nervous system. When we have a skewed neuroception, meaning we're not relaxed enough to accurately assess threat, or invitation and inclusion as well, what can we do to calm ourselves enough that that situation improves? One of the first things that we can do is to work with our breath. If this is something that you know about in advance, then start working with it ahead of time. 2-to-1 breathing, where we're breathing out longer than we're breathing in, up to 6 seconds on the exhale is ideal, is a great practice to calm our system. It helps to get us out of freeze. It helps to get our system functioning well again. So you might breathe in to a count of 3, breathe out to a count of 3, and take a minute or 2 to get yourself calm and centered. Let your breath flow easily. Relax your belly. And then gradually extend the exhalation so that you're breathing out up to 6 seconds. Same smooth, even breath, not using the stomach muscles to squeeze. Let your exhalation be a little bit longer. It takes a little bit of time for our nervous system to realize that we're exhaling, and a 6-second exhale activates the relaxation response. You can breathe out for 6 seconds in many ways. You could hum. Pioneering trauma expert Dr. Peter Levine likes to use the syllable VU. Breathe in normally and exhale VU. And when you do that for 6 seconds, you could do it in the car on the way over there. You could do it in the morning before you leave for work. It helps to calm the nervous system. Do that for at least 6 seconds and do it several times. You could also sing. Choirs are wonderful for down-regulating the nervous system. So is singing to a favorite song around the house. Anything that you can do to periodically bring your exhalation up to 6 seconds will help to calm your nervous system. When you're at the event and you're speaking, talk in longer sentences or say several shorter sentences without breathing in between. This will help you to get the 6-second exhalation when you're speaking. And when you're listening, you can do that and nobody will ever know. If it's a social event, you could also look around the room, see if there's someone who looks like they're really uncomfortable and shy, and go over and speak to them. You could have a couple of conversation openers. Where are you from? What type of work do you do? What are your hobbies? How do you know the host if you're at a party? Once you use these tools and have positive experiences, it helps us to not be so anxious about social engagement. And then we come to the big one. Authentic, true, vulnerable relationships. As we become more connected with ourselves, we become less satisfied with shallow relationships. We begin to soften our defenses. We begin to take risks. We say the truth. This isn't always met by wholehearted appreciation when we're telling the truth, when we're naming what we see. Sometimes we make big changes to bring ourselves in alignment, to be around people who are supportive of our healing. We set new boundaries. We become steadier and more grounded in ourselves. We become capable of and really interested in true, authentic connection with other people. As we stop shaming ourselves, we become less willing to tolerate someone else shaming us. In my experience, this isn't always a fast process. Often we'll do this at a pace that's fairly comfortable, and yet there's a hunger and a longing to know ourselves, to have deep connection with other people, to matter to ourselves and to matter to other people, and have other people matter to us. This is the foundation for a fulfilling, satisfying life. We need connection with ourselves, and we need it with each other. Tomorrow is day 10. We're going to explore basic goodness and knowing ourselves in the present moment from awareness.